Like, I didn't know who Sturt was when I met him and shot with him. We shot an airwalk at together at the La Habra High School roof gap. And,
okay.
You know, I saw the photos later. It came out amazing. Like, I just didn't know who he was and what he had done for skateboarding and his whole history until, you know, we started shooting together and hanging out together. I'd hear his stories and then, you know, found out later that he was the guy that did the swing backflip sequence. You ever see that trick dips where he's on a swing and he swings, gets to the ground, picks up the board and ollies and does a full backflip out of it and rides away? And I had that on my wall, like at my house, and he's there shooting me. I didn't know that was him until after. Dave Andrick, he worked at Plan B. I just knew him as Dave. Like, and I didn't know when someone talked about the trick, the Andrick, I'm like, oh, that's like his last name, you know? I didn't know that was the dude that invented it. And he would always show up in like regular, just like business attire kind of, like not a suit, but like, you know, like slacks and a sweater. And then one time we were at the Plan B offices and he goes out back and he's going to skate the vert ramp. I was like, I didn't even know he could drop in, you know? When I see him skate, I'm like, holy shit. Like I didn't even know he skateboarded. And then I found out that it's Dave Andrick and what he's done and what he invented and how good he was. And you see these old photos, I'm like, God damn, crazy. He's such a humble dude, you know? Like, you know, I just never knew. But it was rad to find out and to see how much of a badass he really was.
I think that's awesome that, you know, a lot of the guys from back then, they're very humble. You know, a lot of guys are very humble. You know, a lot of guys that still aren't out there trying to make a living off doing fucking 30 rock and rolls, which is fine. You know, people want to buy their shit. But the humble guys, you know, like the guys, like I met Mario Rubalcaba like that as well. He was some dude working in a D.C. warehouse, you know, and I was, you know, I just ended up talking to him and, you know, went in there a couple times, talked to him, and I was just like, whoa, what? That's a what? I was like, dude, I would have never known. But he's not like, hey, man, I'm fucking Mario Rubalcaba. You know, I was talking to Julio De La Cruz about this. And he was saying how skate companies, they don't do that. But it's a weird position that they put them in because a lot of times, they, you know, instead of putting them in kind of corporate positions or setting them up for success, you know, they'd be like, hey, we need you to work in a warehouse. It's like,
right.
It's good that, you know, it's great to see some guys that, you know, like Jinx and, you know, a lot of guys that made it, you know, from that era. And guys from our era making it, too. You know, because there's not a very wide window of people that, I don't know if the opportunity is not there. In a way, I feel as if it's people just want to be as successful as they were. And if they don't see that success, it's unsuccessful.
Well, it's definitely easier, a lot easier to ride for the company and do your part and be a part of something big than to just leave it and start something on your own and turn it into something big. It takes a lot more work, you know? And, not everybody has what it takes to start a brand and keep it rolling and, you know, sponsor people and just build a whole thing, you know? It's a ton of work.
It's a lot of work, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, like I said, I think skateboarding puts you in a weird position to where you're like, you always just, you don't see yourself as anything else but the talent.
It's WCRP.
When we decided to do our brand, we named it Ray Bros Brand because then we knew we couldn't build it and sell it, you know? It was just going to be locked into us. We were going to handle it. And it gave us a different kind of incentive to build it the way we wanted. We helped a few people out and just kept it tight. So, and it's been fun doing it on our own and just coming up with our own graphics and doing stuff on our own timeline. We don't have to follow like the seasons or come out with a certain amount of drops each year. We just make it when we are ready for it, release it when it's done, and sell through and move on to the next.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, and that's what I like too about mine. A lot of people ask me, what are you going to do fall? Are you going to do whatever? I'm like, do what I want to. You know, it's like, this isn't your typical brand. You know, people are so used to typical things. You know, it's like, that's like going to a fine dining restaurant. You know, like something you're doing is like, it's not a mom and pop restaurant. It's not, it's a fine dining restaurant. You know, you come in, it's got a set menu, a certain menu, you know, and they change the menu up. They're not going to serve what you want when you want it. This is this kind of establishment. And, you know, people are so used to entitlement and just having instant gratification. We're like, this person makes it. It's like, that doesn't, you know, it's like, that doesn't mean nothing. You know, like people ask me, oh, what about the website? And it's like, dude, I'm fine with everything that's going on right now. I'm absolutely fine. There's nothing more I can do because I've already done more and saw less. You got to think, man, a lot of companies too, man, it takes a while to take off. You know, it doesn't, you're not going to pop off. If you pop off from the start, dude, you got nowhere to go but downhill. Like you said, man, I think that's very important to work like that on everything in life. You know, just do it at your own pace, man. Be cool with it and don't be flashy. You don't have nothing to prove to no one but yourself.
It's WCRP.
So back to Kane, man. Did you enjoy your time over at Plan B? That was like the, you weren't there with Kane, were you? No.
I was there.
Were you?
Yeah. I was there when a few people came through. Because I got on the same time with Ronnie Burkino, and then Pat Chinita came after that. But when I got on, it was right when Mike Carroll and Rick Howard and Sheffy, when they all bounced. I didn't even know that they were leaving when I got on. In the conversation with Mike Tanasky about getting on Plan B, he's like, no one really knows this yet, but this is what's happening. And half the team was leaving. I'm like, oh, shit. So I was kind of part of the rebuild. And, it happened right then. So I guess that would be 93.
It's just really strange. You know, that's, but it's kind of cool, you know, especially for us young kids to see that at the time, you know, like, and like all of our heroes are starting their own thing, you know. Like it's crazy to see that, but it was weird, you know. I thought Plan B was their thing.
Plan B was a separate company, but it was still affiliated with World. So a lot of the sales and stuff was all still going through World Industries, like dwindle that whole channel, and it was in the offices there where they had all the records of all the board sales and stuff. So I think Rick and Mike just found some sales report that wasn't being reported to Plan B. So they thought that they were getting like less royalties than they should. I think there was some discrepancy over like even like international sales weren't getting reported or something. So they found the evidence of it, or so they thought. And they're like, yeah, we're getting ripped off. So then, you know, they grabbed what they could and started their own thing from there. And just figured, you know, why not? They're the talent. They can do it on their own. And they had everything they needed to do it and all the friends to go with them. So, you know, they just decided to make a run for it.
That's so crazy because because I knew there was some, obviously, clearly money discrepancies in 8th Street too. You know, and just, I mean, just back then, man, I was talking to Heintzman about this and he was saying, you know, how fucking him and Hensley, you know, he said that Heintzman was saying that catch-up board. He was like, dude, it was the board show right there with Hensley, you know? And I'm just like, those dudes were selling fucking boards. Like, it was no one's business. You hear the different stories. You know what I mean? You hear, like, you hear some guys making 30 grand a month back then.
Right.
You hear some guys, like, a grand a month. And you're like, hold on. What? How?
Well, back then, it was just handshakes. Definitely just a handshake, and they pay you whatever they want. You know, whatever they think you deserve. So, there was,
and they don't have to show you
a lot of it.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't have to show you stuff. So, you know, like that really strengthens what your story's saying, because if they found something, that means a lot. Because I guarantee you, if you ask any of them company owners to show you board sales from back then, they would fucking disappear.
It's WCRP.
I just want to talk to you about skating, man. I know a lot of people want to know about that fucking water tower gap.
Yeah, we found that thing just driving by and looking at it for years. It was right over the hill from our house in La Habra. And then one day just went and checked it out and kind of looked at it from the top and saw that, you know, although it's super far, it seemed like possible. It was just reasonably possible. You just have to go really fast and ollie really high and far. Yeah, I showed Sturt, the photographer. I had him come up and check it out one day, and he took a look at it. He was like, all right. And we didn't do it that day. And then I didn't hear anything about it or even think about it for a month. And he randomly just called me up one day and was like, hey, you want to go do that thing today? I was like, oh, all right. And I had Ty Evans showing up to film for that Starting Point video for Transworld. It was like that how-to video. So we were already going to be filming some stuff for that, just flat ground tricks. And so at least I had a filmer. So I'm like, yeah, it's a good day to do it because I got Ty coming in. So I let Ty know, hey, we're going to go do something first before we film flat ground in L.A. So come meet me. And we met up at the spot. And he found his angle up on the hill. And he had no idea he was going to film that day. But I had to run and jump it because one direction was going into the wind, like head on. And it had like cement patches on the ground that were too rough on that landing side. So you couldn't take off from that side. So I had to run and jump over and then skate back. Because I couldn't climb up the other tower. There was no fire escape ladder on that one. There was only one ladder up on the landing side. So I just had to work with it and make it work. It was hairy. Because like, you can't run and jump it with the board in your hand. Because you needed like full arms just to run and swing and get your speed up. So
yeah.
I had to throw my board over first, but it has like a slight taper to the roof. So if my board landed wheels down, it's going to slowly start rolling off the roof. So I had to run and jump over before my board fell off the roof every time too.
Yeah.
And most people think I did it first try, but in reality, it took me 5 tries. The first 2, I kicked it out because it didn't look like I was going to make it. It looked like I was going to hang, looked like my truck was going to catch on the far end, but I cleared it every time, but it just didn't look like I was going to make it. So I'd kick it out and walk off or like roll out. Then I'd have to, you know, throw my board over again and run and jump back. So then by the 3rd one, I was landing on it, but I was leaning back so far that I couldn't get all my weight on top of the board again. I was like stretching my board out in front of me to make sure I didn't hang up on it. So then, you know, by the last one, I was just tried to square up on it and go pretty much keep your weight over your front truck and just go with it rather than like boning it out all the way. And it ended up working out on that last one. I decided on that one I was just going to roll away from it. I didn't want to keep trying it over and over because it got tiring running and jumping back too.
Is it a flat?
Yeah,
gap?
It's flat. It's flat. And because it's kind of raised up in the middle. It has like a peak a little bit and it tapers down toward the end. But when it gets to the edge, it flattens out enough, and it was pretty much a flat-to-flat gap. So, yeah, it makes it really tough to get that far on flat ground.
Man.
That's about the limit, you know. So my last push had to be the strongest push because I had to maintain all the speed. And you didn't want to take your last push too close to the edge because then if you didn't get your feet right, you have no choice but to go over it because you're going so fast. So I tried to take my last push really strong, get my feet set up in time, and then get it.
That's
yeah,
terrible.
If your footing wasn't right, you had no option but to go over it anyway.
Thinking about that makes me nervous.
Yeah, if you chickened out and tried to not go, you're going to fall in the hole. There's no way to stop in time.